The book of Romans, chapter number 1, the book of Romans. Excuse me, I'm wrong chapter. Chapter number 13, Romans, chapter number 13. Book of Romans, chapter number 13 this morning. Stand, if you will, all over the place, Romans, chapter number 13. This morning, I want to look at our relationship to government. The Bible is very plain as to a Christian, what a Christian should do. Somebody's asked, said, preacher, are there occasions in the Bible that the people went against the law and broke the law? And the answer is yes. But they are the exception and not the rule. The Egyptian midwives broke the law because it was a higher law of preserving life than there was taking the life of those male Hebrew children. They did. They broke the law. Hebrew children stood instead of bowing on that plain when they were supposed to bow to that wicked idol. But again, it's few and far between. When the disciples in the New Testament were told not to preach anymore in Jesus' name, of course, they went right on preaching because there was a higher law. But can I tell you that lawlessness does not compliment a Christian? Lawlessness causes contempt for Christianity. And can I tell you, because you're saved doesn't mean you're exempt from the law. Just the opposite. Because you're saved, you are commanded to obey the laws of the land every time you can, in every way that you can. And so this morning, by the help of the Lord, I want to look at the thought, subject unto higher powers, found in the verse number 1 of Romans 13. The Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be ordained of God. Let's bow our heads and hearts again. Father, help us, I pray, this morning to preach the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, help us, I pray, as your people, Lord, to be obedient to the truth of the Word of God and to the laws of this land in every situation, in every case that's possible, in Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. There's a group of folk in the Midwest that's not as popular as it was a few years ago. I got out in amongst them and didn't realize exactly who they were. They got to talking, and they started questioning me, and they said, Did you get Social Security numbers for your children? And I said, yeah. They go, oh, that's bad. That's bad. And then we talked a little bit longer, and they said, do you have a driver's license from the state? And I said, yeah, that's how I got here. They said, oh, that's bad. They said, you got a tag on your car? I said, yeah, I told you I drove out here. And they said, oh, that's bad. They said, did you and your wife go to the courthouse and get a license to get married? I said, yeah. And they said, that's awful. I said, well, you know, that's a funny thing to me. I always thought it was them that didn't get no license, the ones with awful. I always thought them that shacked up was the ones who was down on, you know. I didn't realize getting legally married was an issue. They said, oh, yeah, I said, the government's corrupt and you ought not take nothing the government has. And I realized who they were. It's that unlicensed Baptist. And I said to them right off, I said, fellas, you're wasting your time. I said, we have a radio station. We have government we have license from the federal government. We have a Christian school. We're licensed by the state. I said, man, we got a warehouse. We got health inspections and building inspections. I said, we got more license than Carter's got little pills. And they go, well, God ain't going to bless it. And my response was, too late. You way too late, friend. God already has blessed it. You too late. God already has blessed it. And God will bless it. The Bible teaches that we are commanded to obey authority. Look what the Bible says. This is not a suggestion. The Bible says, let every soul. Who does that include? Every means every. You know what that means in the Greek? It means every. Every soul is commanded. Let every soul, everybody. And of course, specifically, he's talking to believers here. Not to unbelievers, but specifically to believers. He says for us to be subject to this command. Let every soul, look what he says, be subject unto the higher powers. The higher powers. Now, understand what I'm saying when I say this. When there is no biblical conviction, there's no biblical reason for you not to obey, you have an obligation to obey. I understand in the book of Acts, chapter number 5, verse number 29, the scripture says that we ought to obey God rather than men, because at that point, the laws of men were contrary to the laws of God. But can I tell you, that's the exception and not the rule. And when we disobey God's laws, whether it's, regardless whatever it's in, it don't matter what it is. When we disobey God's law and when we disobey the rules of the land, we are in turn disobeying God. Somebody said, yeah, but I've got rights. I agree with that. But can I tell you that we have laws in order that your rights don't stomp on somebody else's and my rights don't stomp on somebody else's. The scripture says, look in the latter part of verse number 1, not only the command to obey authority, but there's the creation of authority. Where did it come from? The Bible says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. These are not my words. They're the word of God. Understand that there's never been a politician, a king, there's never been a tyrant who's ever reigned on earth that God did not control every beat of his heart and could have sent him to eternity in a blink of an eye. But sometimes God chooses not to do that. Sometimes we don't understand the ways of God. Sometimes it's not that God can't do it. It's that God chooses not to do it. So the fact, I don't care how bad they are, the fact that they're in power shows me that God's allowing them to live, and God could snuff out their life and turn. I mean, in a second, God could take them out. But the fact that they're alive, it tells me that God's got the situation under control. In some cases, maybe he's using a long leash. He's got them on a long leash to accomplish something that I don't understand. I don't understand all I know about all of these things, but I can tell you this. God's got a bigger plan than we do, and a higher plan than we do. And I truly believe this. The pundits can't explain this week. The pollsters certainly can't explain this week. One of the fellas made the statement. He said, I don't have egg on my face. He said, I've got omelet on my face. I thought it took a pretty big man to say that. The politicians sure don't know what happened. Can I tell you what happened? Praying people and the power of God. Now, if you don't believe that, you have wasted a lot of time and a lot of meals. That's all I can tell you. We prayed for, you know, when Brother Whittemore's grandpa, they prayed for rain and he carried an umbrella. And when he got to the church to pray, had a special prayer meeting for rain, and praying for rain, he carried an umbrella with him. It was clear sky. And they said to him, said, Paul, said, you know, he kind of laughed, said, so you brought an umbrella. He said, I thought we was going to pray for rain. He had to use that thing before he got back to the house. What'd we pray for? And then we act surprised when we get it. Can I tell you that God, the very God of heaven, has overruled? Yes, sir. And I believe that as sure as I'm standing here. Somebody said, well, if we didn't got who we wanted. Who we wanted might not could have beat the opponent. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about that? Who we wanted might not could have done this or might not could have done that. You understand what I'm saying? God's got a plan. He knows what he's doing. God's got a big plan. And I'm glad to report to you, God's all about that. And can I tell you this? That Who knows who's going to get a Supreme Court appointment? Who knows what's coming? We may be better off than we ever dreamed in days ahead. And I mean that. I'm talking about the creation of authority. It's of God, all of it. And it doesn't matter who the leader is across the world, God's got a place. In other words, they're in power for a reason. And you go places where there is no leadership, you go places where there is no power, you go places where there is no authority, and my friend, you have anarchy. And the people just go crazy and go wild. Somalia is a perfect example. The collapse of the government. The people did what was right in their own eyes. Hey, they climbed the telephone poles and cut down the wire and sold it. They went from being in the 21st century to being back in the 19th century. They dug up the wire. They cut down their own telephone lines and melted the copper down and sold it. And today it's a third world country. It's as backwards. They don't have electricity. They don't have any infrastructure. And warlords reign. Hear what I'm telling you. Somebody will reign. In the absence of a God-ordained power, somebody's going to rise to power. Whether it's the criminals, whether it's the crooks, whatever. They will all, hey, nature hates a vacuum. Somebody will step up and take control. Rest assured of that. And my friend, you do not want what the option is. There's a crowd, I wrote about this a little bit last year in the book. Hey, there's a crowd that they dream about the day that we'd be defending our farm and our folk and our food. And you know, it's kind of romanticized what that would be like to be back in those days. My friend, that's foolishness. That's stuff that movies are written about. You hear me? It's not a time. Hey, there's not coming a time of total absence of power. There's come a time of totalitarian power. You can't fight against the military. Are you crazy? But that's what some people had in their mind. Hear what I'm trying to say. I'm saying the creation of authority, it's of the Lord. Us to command authority, and the command to obey authority, it's of the Lord. The creation of authority, it's of the Lord. But then there's the Bible that tells us here in verse number 2, the caution about resisting authority. The Bible says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." When you're a lawbreaker, it don't go well with God. You see, the Bible says, whosoever, the character, it really doesn't matter. If you have a lawless attitude, the Bible says, resisteth the power, listen to this, resisteth the ordinance of God. And that goes from driving with a dead license or driving with a dead tag or a dead inspection sticker, from that something that small right on up. Do you hear what I'm telling you? God won't bless lawlessness. God won't bless lawbreakers. Somebody said, "Preacher, you ain't never done that." Guilty, yes, I have done it. But can I tell you, I got under conviction about it because of what the Scripture says about it, that there is a great caution that I'm resisting the ordinance of God when I break the laws of the land, even traffic laws. And then the Scripture goes on to say that there's consequences. The Bible says, "They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." The Bible says in verse number 5, "Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience' sake." Can I tell you that there is that there's pain from condemnation when you break the law? And so there's the character resistance, whoever is disobedient, whoever resisteth. But there's the consequences of resistance. The Bible says, "shall receive to themselves damnation." Verse number 5, wrath. And the Bible said not only heavenly condemnation, but there's the human conscience. The Bible says not only wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Do you hear what I'm trying to say? For conscience' sake. If there's something that every time you go to pray bothers you, you need to fix it. If there's something that is always after you, always bothering you, you need to fix it. Now, can I tell you that early in my life, I thought the Antichrist was behind every bush and the mark of the beast was behind everything. I mean, I was satisfied computers were straight out of hell. I was satisfied the Antichrist was going to show up and we'd be in the tribulation any day in my early Christian walk. The Inspiration Zone radio singing, Jesus is coming soon. Communism is about to take over the world. It was a dark time, and we had reason to believe that. And I was one of those that resisted the power. But it's amazing when I would get down, there's some things that I was doing that weren't right. And I'm not talking about morally, I'm talking about legally. Some things I should have done that I had not done. There were some things that I was pushing the limit on. And every time I'd get down to pray, my conscience was quicked. And it kept coming up. I'll tell you a quick story. Y'all look like you need a story. I can tell when you need a story, when I get that blank look at me, just this blank look. Let me tell you a story. You like stories. I used to have a little old, what it was called a sealing iron. It was a little old pair of cutters. But inside those cutters, there was a die. And that die had a seal. Those things were numbered. I was given a number. And the day I went to work with a power company, I was handed a set of those things. And they said, guard these with your life. With your life. Because I would see, when I sealed something, it was a legal seal. And it was, I'd use lead and I'd squeeze it. And that's how you couldn't get in your meter base. You couldn't get in whatever I sealed. Pad mount transformers, whatever I sealed, son. And it was against the law to break that seal. Big law, big time law to break my seal. I carried them seals with me. If I cut somebody's power off, I'd go cut their power off. I put a seal on it and I squeeze it down. Son, I come back and that seal's broke. I called a sheriff. That's how serious it was. I could have them put in jail because they broke my seal. You didn't break a seal. Well, I got to work one morning and that thing wasn't in my box. Truck was inside a fence. I was sitting there. It wasn't inside. It wasn't in the box. I went to open the meter up and my seal iron's gone. What am I going to do? I mean, every day I had to seal demand meters. I used it all the time. I carry it in my pocket all the time. Had to seal them every day. I had to go seal demand meters. I did it as a routine. Every time I did a meter work, I had to reseal it. I was constant. I was constantly doing that. Anytime I was doing meter tech work, I was constantly using that sealing iron. Didn't have it. Now I'm in trouble. So I go to the boss and I said, I've lost it. And I thought they're going to hit the roof. I mean, he just went all to pieces. He said, oh, you can't do that. You can't lose it. Man, that thing get out in the public, there's no telling. You can't do it. You can't lose it. There's no way. He said, look again. My supervisor come and took my truck apart. I mean, they took my truck apart. It was laying all over the parking lot. They did everything you could imagine to that truck. There was nothing unturned. That truck. I mean, everything I own was laying out on the yard. No sealing tool. They said, take it home, will you? No, we've looked the house over. We looked everywhere. It ain't there. It's gone. I don't know what happened to it. It's gone. Well, they took me off. I couldn't even seal stuff. And I went a good while before I got mine back. And when I finally got it back, boy, they handed it to me with disgust. And they said, you lose that one, son, and there'll be trouble. And I knew what that meant. I don't know if it was that day or the next day. Doris got in a big way to rearrange the furniture at the house. And so I went and got the couch, and she said, let's put it over there. And I put it over there. She said, no, it don't look good over there. Put it back where it was. Your wife's never done that, I'm sure. That's how my back's where it's at. It was moving furniture, you know. But you're like, no, I don't like it. It looks terrible. Put it back over here. Well, honey, it looked good over there before we started. No, I had to check it and see if it looked good. Anyway, I moved that thing about the third time, and when something hit the floor, kawham, and I pulled the couch up to look, and guess what was laying on the floor? My old sealing iron. I'd already told the boss I'd look the house over. I just got that thing and eased it in the drawer. Never said a word. But every time I'd go to pray, all I could think about was that sealing iron. That's the truth. And I started preaching a revival meeting. And God wore me out over that thing. Because I'd been a while. And God wore me out. I was trying to preach revival, and God wore me out. And during that revival, I got right with God. I was preaching it, and I got right with God and told the congregation, there's something it's illegal, something I've done wrong, and I've got to make it right. The next morning, I walked into that ceiling iron and laid it on boss's desk. He said, where'd you find it? I said, in my couch. He said, I thought you said you looked in your couch. I said, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Folks, it was like the load of the world lifted off my shoulders. Say, preacher, that's just a little stupid thing. It might have been a little stupid thing to you, and it might have been a little stupid thing to me, but it's a great big old thing to the Holy Ghost, because it had him quenched, had him grieved, had him bound. You hear what I'm telling you? Human conscience. Hey, you ain't going to get nowhere if your conscience is quicked. You could tell yourself 50 times a day, it's okay, it's all right, it's okay, nothing wrong with it, it's okay, it's all right. It ain't changed a thing. You still just as guilty as you were before you started talking. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm telling you that there's caution about resisting the authority. Look what the Bible tells us in chapter number 13, verse number 3. The Bible tells us the cause for authority. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise for the same. For he's the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. But if he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Can I say it this way? God places the national leadership on that he does for the national safety. That's God's plan. Look what the scripture says. It's to promote good. He is the minister of God to thee for good. And you say, preacher, well, what if you got a bad ruler? When the apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, Nero was in power. Did you hear what I said? And it was true then when he wrote it. And if it was true with Nero on the throne of Rome, with no way of voting him out, if it was true then, how much more is it true today? Do you hear what I'm saying? Was it true the day he wrote it? Answer me. Was it true the day that he wrote it? Is it true the day that I read it just then? Irregardless of who's in the White House. Irregardless who's in the governor's mansion. Irregardless, it's still true, isn't it? He says, the minister for thee for good. There, to promote good, but also to punish guile. The Bible says, the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And the Bible, by the way, the beareth the sword in vain. A magistrate that had the power of the sword had the power to take life. And the government has the power to do that. No one's doing that anymore, but can I tell you that the government has that power? There was talk recently that if you, I thought this was already in place. I thought if you killed a law enforcement officer, that it was a federal offense. Apparently it's not. Here's the issue. A lot of states don't have capital punishment, but the federal government does. Somebody who kills a cop, it ought to be a federal offense. And it ought to go to federal penitentiary, be tried in federal court, and they ought to have the death penalty as an option. I'll vote for that in a heartbeat. I'd vote for that in a heartbeat. Because the Bible says they beareth not the sword in vain. The Lord Jesus believed in the death penalty. You say he didn't. Yes, he did. Told Simon Peter, you better put that sword back in your side, boy. Was he carrying it? Yep, he was open carry. He's practicing open carry. He was carrying the sword. Matter of fact, if you check, the Lord told them to make sure they get, he had, they, the Lord asked him, were they armed? They said they had two. He said, that's enough. That's right. Earlier. Yes, he said, matter of fact, trade your cloak and get you one. Time's coming, dangerous times ahead. But he wasn't talking about the garden. He was talking about leaving Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and going to the uttermost parts of the world, that it was going to be a dangerous time. And when Simon Peter drew the sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ear, the Lord Jesus healed it. And therefore, did away with the evidence. And he told Simon, said, you live by the sword, son, you'll die by the sword. You know what the Lord Jesus was doing? He was reinforcing the government's right to take his life for taking the life of an innocent man. That's exactly what he was reinforcing. The Lord Jesus told Simon Peter that in the garden. Now let's look what the Bible says in verse number 6. Romans 13, 6. It was instituted in the days of Noah. It's not been rescinded. Human government still in existence, my friend. Look what the Bible says. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. Now, you're not going to like this. I don't like it. But this is the way it works. The word tribute, when the Lord Jesus, they needed tribute money, you know what it was? It was a tax. Was it a tax because he bought and sold something? No. You know what it was? It was income tax. And the Bible said that we're to pay tribute to whom tribute is due. The Scripture says, the Scripture tells us that they are God's ministers. Why do we pay income tax? Because they are God's ministers. I'm glad I don't have to pay the bill on this fire that's being fought. I'm glad I don't have to pay the bill on all the disaster relief that's going on the East Coast. I'm glad I don't have to pay for all the other calamities that come upon this nation. Hey, we pay tribute, and as a result of that, that pays for those things that befall us. And while, listen to me, while you say, well, we don't get none of it. Well, we had 20 firefighters from Idaho with our crews yesterday on the Pinnacle Fire, and they were here at the federal government's expense. Did you hear what I tell you? They're here from all over the country. They're here from all over America, and we don't have to pay for it. As a matter of fact, it's gotten so big, even the local government is not going to have to pay for it. It's gone federal, and your tribute money will be what pays all that expenses. Now, do they throw money around? Yes, they do. Do I agree with everything they spend? No, I don't, but I know this. I'm glad it's not like it was in the pioneer days when we all had to take up an offering and pool together, and we wouldn't be in church tonight. We'd be all the way out there on the fire line fighting that rascal. And I'm glad that God has a plan. And the Bible says that they are attending continually upon this very thing. Verse number 6. What are you talking about, preacher? They are responsible, I said, for the national security, but they're also responsible for the national sovereignty and the national solvency. Understand that government should be run like a business and that it should be solvent. And no matter how bad we like it or how bad we don't, we've got to get this thing back solvent or it ain't going to stand a whole lot longer. And the Bible says tribute. But then there's a second word, and that just means tax, income tax. But there's a second word that's used in the passage, and it says custom. I've been preaching for a long time, and I never saw this till today. Income taxes in the Bible and sales taxes in the Bible, because that's exactly what custom is. It's tax when you buy something. We use it a lot when we go into another country. We have to pay customs. We pay it all the time. Every time we travel, leave the country, we pay customs. We go through customs, we pay customs. We pay to get things in, we pay to get things out. That is a common occurrence. And in some countries, it costs you as much as it costs. If you take a car to Bolivia, South America right now, if the book value on that car is $20,000, it'll cost you $20,000 to get it in the country. It's 100% of the value, because they don't have much of an income tax, and most of what they have is sales tax. And they figure people that can afford a $20,000 car can afford $20,000 to get it in, and that's the way they look at it. Therefore, they don't have very many new cars in the country. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the Bible tells us that we are to pay tribute, and that we are to pay custom, we're to pay income tax, we're to pay sales tax, because that the powers are ordained of God. Do I like it? No, I didn't say I liked it. Do I think it's all being spent wisely? No, I didn't say that. I just said it's our duty as God's people to pay it. The Lord Jesus, that situation was placed upon him. They wanted to see if he's going to be a lawbreaker. They wanted to see if he'd pay his taxes. He sent a disciple down to go fishing. And he caught a fish and it had coin in its mouth. And it was enough to pay his and the disciple that went fishing's taxes, income taxes. And they wanted to say, reckon what he would do. Later they said, reckon what he'll do. They held up a coin and they said, is it lawful to pay tribute unto Caesar? Jesus looked at the coin, said, whose picture's on there? They said, Caesar's. He said, then render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God's. And they just ask him no more questions. I love that. Did you know that the Lord Jesus give them CPA advice? Hallelujah. That the Lord Jesus give them tax advice in the scripture? And he confounded them when he did. Because, hey, you can't beat that answer. And that's exactly what he answered. And the Bible says two things. He said, hey, if you're a lawbreaker, fear. He said, but on the other hand, if you're not a lawbreaker, then give honor. And vice versa. If you do good, do right. If you do something big, the government will applaud you for it. You do something bad, the government will penalize you for it. The same thing is true. Can I tell you what I'm trying to say here? Can I tell you? It's hard to call a corrupt judge your honor. I know that. It's hard to call a corrupt official and give them any kind of honor. But you understand, we're not saluting the person. We're saluting the position. Because that position, my friend, is derived from that red, white, and blue striped flag hanging right over there. As we celebrate Veterans Day, the reason we have self-determination is because men died for that we might be free. Right or wrong, my friend, we can elect them, we can vote them out. Might not agree with all of it, but thank God we're one of the few peoples on earth that get that opportunity. At least we're not born with a king who we have to wait to see he die for his son to take over, and he might be worse than his daddy was. And we have no say in the matter. Hey, the church was raised on that kind of a mess. The church came up under that kind of mess, and it did all right. Do you hear me? And it'll do all right now, hallelujah, if we'll do right. If we will do right. Now, I'm just going to conclude with this. And I'm kind of glad that we have some folks absent this morning. I ain't usually glad when people lay out of church, but they're gone on a trip, and I'm kind of glad because I've got a little confessing to do. Part of the gun laws I knew. Part of them I was mistaken about. And part of them I said, well, it ain't nobody's business. It just ain't nobody's business. And we had a law enforcement officer start attending the church. And I got under conviction. And I quit it. And I went to school, took the classes, and I got legal. Number one, I didn't want to offend someone who I'm trying to pastor by being a lawbreaker. Number two, I would never want to put him in the position that he'd have to take a stand against me. How awkward is that? But if it comes down to it, he's sworn to uphold the law, and he'd have to. And how awkward would that be? It would be terrible. And the thing about it is, he didn't even know it, and I was putting him in a no-win situation. So by the grace of God, I got it right. And I went to him and told him. He said, well, preacher, I thought you had your permit. I said, well, I made out like that. But truth of the matter is, it was rebellion in my heart's reason I didn't get it. It didn't have to do with anything else. It's just stinking rebellion. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, I got under conviction because you were here, and I'm sorry. I told him the night we had the class, I was the last one out, and I had to go to him and apologize. And I said, I'm sorry for putting you in that position. And he said, preacher, I didn't know anything about it. And the preacher, I mean, it's okay. I said, no. The Holy Ghost done spoke on this one. The judge of the universe done ruled. And the judge of the universe done pointed me and said, guilty. And I said, I have no choice but the verdict's in to obey what God says. And I apologize for that. But preacher, defending the congregation's right. I agree with that. Preacher, defending your family's right. I agree with that. But there are provisions and laws in this land that allow you to do it the right way. It's just that because of my stubborn streak. You see, here's the blessed part about being saved a long time. My stubborn streak used to be as wide as the French Broad. And now, I've got it down to just a trickle about the size of a little spring wide. The problem is it's still about 50 feet deep. You're not supposed to amen right there, okay? You're not supposed to laugh, huh? Don't look at me. Bless God, some of y'all's 50 feet wide and 50 feet deep. Mine ain't but 2 inches wide, but it's still 50 foot deep. But God's a working on me. Hallelujah. I'm glad to tell you that God's still a working on me. As long as I've been saved, as long as I've been preaching, God's dealing with me on a daily basis. That's how I know I'm His. He's mine. That's how I know. Hey, woo. Communication. Hey, I don't like it when my father has to say, stop it. Straighten up. Do right. I don't like it. But hallelujah, He's my Father. And He has that right, doesn't He? He has that right to rebuke me when He sees fit. And I say the same thing to everyone else. That's can I tell you this? Some have been uncomfortable because I've made so much to do about some things here recently. It's because it's bothering me. It wasn't because it was bothering you, it was because it was bothering me. All right. Now I've confessed up. Now don't ask for no more, all right? What's bothering you? What's bothering you? Something as simple as the wrong tag on the wrong car, or something as simple as a business deal that you never got straightened out, or some money that you owed that you never got paid, or something that you borrowed that you never returned and kind of claimed it. You hear what I'm saying? It don't take much to make a lawbreaker out of a legal citizen. And sometimes it's not the penalty of the law that so much we're concerned about. It's that penalty of the Holy Ghost that convicts our soul. I never told you this, but a few years ago, I got caught speeding. It's been within 3 years. I got caught speeding. I had to go to a driver's education class. You're talking about embarrassed. I was the oldest fella in there. Bunch of kids. And I was embarrassed to be there. I was embarrassed telling my name. I was embarrassed the whole thing. But here's what, listen, and I thought, what's he going to tell me? What is he going to tell me? I've paid all this money to come to this driver's education class, keep it off my license, keep it off my insurance, and it's for nothing. But that fella told me something I'll never forget. He said, if you're on the interstate driving cross country, and you drive 10 mile an hour over. He said, you do the math on it, it will save you time overall. He said, but going from your house to work, run 10 mile an hour over, figure how far it is to work, and do the math. He said, you saved 45 seconds. You save a minute and a half. He said, and you put yourself at risk, and you put you're a lawbreaker, and you put yourself and others at risk, and it doesn't really matter. If the time clock's already past 8, it doesn't matter because you're late anyway. And I thought about that. You know, I've taken my foot off the accelerator a little bit. How many of us, we got highway patrol religion. We obey the law when we see a blue light. But the rest of the time, we're hammered down just because we can. You understand what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that God has ordained government for our good and for His glory. And unless it is a moral issue that God's word clearly overrules the laws of man, then, my friend, we are obligated to be law-abiding Christians.